out here on a almost fall back into summer kind of night, really. It started out kind of cool. I like cooler weather, so it started out kind of cool and everything. And by the time we got down to this afternoon, kind of hot again, you know, especially wearing all that. Kind of gets hot sometimes, but it sure is good to see each one of you tonight. I'm thankful that you're here. Real excited about the message tonight, and I just kind of been studying along different lines and things, and the Lord kind of settled me here in Matthew chapter 11. If you'd like to go ahead and be turning there, Matthew chapter 11. But there is a lot to be in prayer about. I know if you've been watching the news at all today, again, it's been mentioned about Charlie Kirk, and I really hated to hear that. I've seen several different commentaries from him and what have you, and the good common sense that he would speak, and that you could follow. I tell you one thing: if you want to call it debating or what have you, when you're debating with people or talking with people, you really have to slow down and kind of understand what you're saying to people, kind of meet them where they're at, and go from there. And he was very good at that. That's a God-given skill, I believe. Anybody can do that, and then back it with the Bible, which is the most important thing, of course, and looking at it that way. So, but let's be in prayer for his family in that situation, and also the young girl that was killed in Charlotte. That really bothered me. There's sometimes you see things, and it's never good, but there's sometimes you see things that maybe hit you a little bit harder, and that was one of those things. But that's close to home, too. Charlotte's not that far from here, but there's a lot going on in this world, and it truly is waxing worse and worse, as we know. But I do want to encourage you, as you've heard me say a million times and probably a million more, stay as close to the Lord as you can. That's some of the very best advice I can give to you, and definitely want to encourage you in that. And the benefits, I tell you, it said you get out what you put in, but when you invest in Jesus, when you invest in the Lord, you get so much more back. Your return on investment is way higher every single time. But I've been really kind of thinking about the Lord himself, and he's kind of studying. I was up early this morning and studying and looking at some things, and so I studied out a complete other message lesson, and then didn't feel too confirmed on that, and then later the Lord led me to these scriptures here. And tonight, the title is How Christ Calls. How Christ Calls. One of the questions we've had at CFC is how to discern your thoughts, our own thoughts, versus what God would have for us. And that's not the message tonight. That's for tomorrow night. But this kind of might go along with that. And learning how the Lord deals with us. You know, that's a question I get a lot of times, maybe when someone is surrendering to preach, when a man is surrendering, or then also maybe someone who is lost and the Lord is dealing with them, and how to know your thoughts versus what the Lord is trying to do. And I think hearing it from Jesus himself is probably the best I can give to you. He himself, he'll tell us how he works with us, and he doesn't hide anything. And if you are willing to hear, if you have willing ears, he'll talk to you. And I know there's a lot of deep things in his word. And after a person has accepted Christ and they become a Bible student and they start to study, there's a lot of deep things in there. But I want you to know that God still, the Lord still, the Holy Spirit, they still work with you that same way. It's consistent. He's not up and down. He's straight across, and he's very consistent. I'll read the verses, and we'll get into the message tonight, and then we'll close in our prayer like we do a little bit later on. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We'll take time to go through that tonight. Verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today with mixed emotions about things, God. Just so thankful for all that you do for us. And Lord, we love you. And just how good you are to us, how you provide for us, how you prepare us and protect us from things, God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that hedge that you give to us. And Lord, we see things across the world and even here close to home, God, that really hurt and really trouble us, God. And we know that the world is heading in that direction. It has been for many, many years, and it's waxing worse and worse, as your word says, God. But we also know that we are not supposed to be entangled in the world. We're not of the world. We're supposed to follow you and be like you, our Father, and then take on the traits, God, that you give to us, that you share with us in your word. And Father, I just pray that you be with us here tonight. Each one, God, I thank you so much for every person that's here tonight. Lord, that's a blessing. That's encouragement. And God, I just pray that you pour your blessings out upon them. Lord, that your word would go into their hearts and they would hear what they need to hear and receive the help that they need. We always need help. We're always learning, always in need of growing. And God, you know where each heart is and what each person needs here tonight. Lord, you know what I need. God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help us here tonight. Lord, I think of those, Lord, that are asking questions about how to be saved. Lord, never want to mislead anyone, never want to pull anyone. God, we trust in the Holy Spirit to do that work. But God, you give us, as fellow laborers in the gospel, you give us a part. And God, we just want to be a vessel to you, God. I just pray that you use me, work through me, help me to say everything the way that it needs to be said. Never want to be confusing, but confirming and consistent, God, in your word. Lord, you've made it simple, and I thank you for that. You made it so simple that babes can understand, Lord. God, I pray you help us tonight. Be with us, Lord. Be with everyone here and all the objects of prayer that will be mentioned later, God. But Lord, I thank you for all that you do for me, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. It's a very interesting verse and verses, scripture. Probably most have heard this. I've probably preached along these lines. I'm probably sure, pretty sure that I have, and maybe different contexts from time to time, or maybe as a portion of a different message or something like that. But really, just wanted to take the time. And you never know who's going to be here. Always trust that the Lord will send or allow to hear what they need to hear from the Word of God. And I'm just thankful that you're here tonight. And you see in the first two verses some very interesting information. You know, if you think about gaining knowledge, studying can be weary. I kind of looked along those lines that it can be wearisome to try to do much studying and try to absorb all these things in. And there are some people, there's nothing wrong with learning as long as you're learning from the right sources. And there's infinite amount of sources in this day and time. Used to, fellow would come around with encyclopedias that he would try to sell to you, and you'd have to read through all those books. And I tell you, by the time you got them, they probably needed to be updated. And that's kind of how it was. So for the longest time, you're probably a little bit behind because it takes time to print. And there are volumes where you might have a dictionary. Those were volumes. I remember at my grandma's house, maybe at our house, seeing those, like all those books. They pretty much look new most of the time. I guess that means it didn't really dig in them a whole lot, but just all kinds of encyclopedias and everything. Well, today you can carry all that in your phone just instantly. Some of it's good and some of it's bad, but there's some discerning factors in when you're looking for the truth, how you know that you're finding the truth. I find it interesting, and if you've read the Bible much, you will see that Jesus answers the questions to those who are sincerely seeking an answer. Many people want to be sarcastic, want to debate, want to argue things. And most often that's the people who Jesus found himself surrounded by, people who wanted to contest him and what have you. But what he says here in verses 1 and 2, or verses 25 and 26, the first two verses of tonight, kind of gives that illustration. He said, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee. He's praying to God the Father. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So this is the way God chose it to be. When you really start doing business with the Lord, he knows that. He knows that. I don't care how old we are, how young we are. When you really start pondering on the Word of God, he knows that. The Holy Spirit aligns that, and he knows that. And it's amazing how if you do start studying and you are trying to figure some scripture out in the context of it, he will guide you to it. It's like we've said before, he will guide you unto all truth. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is never going to mislead you. I think one of the hard parts in conviction, or how Christ calls, is there's usually an awkward feeling that accompanies that. I can tell you this, anytime the Lord deals with me, I go back first and foremost to the day I got saved, but after that, in him dealing with me and calling me to preach and motivating me, moving me to do something else, there's just the way he does that. There's this peaceful uncomfortableness. I don't know how else to explain it. Sister Karen, I just know it's him. And I try to be real quiet and listen because he's trying to tell me something. See, the Lord talks in a still, small voice. He's not chaos and confusion and loud and all this kind of stuff. If you want to hear the Lord, you kind of got to be quiet. You got to be quiet and listen. He's designed it that way. That's the way he wants it to be, so you can have quiet time with him. That's how Christ calls. And Jesus himself is thanking the Father for this and how that it's set up. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. That sounds mean, doesn't it? That doesn't sound right. You mean to tell me God is hiding things from people? That just doesn't sound right. I thought he was the light. I thought he was to expose these things and share these things so people could see it, know it, and understand it. What he's saying here, there's some people that maybe think that they're wiser than what they are, maybe think that they're smarter than what they are. You can see wise used in different ways. If wisdom is used right, it's the right use of knowledge. So if you have knowledge and you know how to use it in the right way, that's wisdom. That's good. The problem that we have in this day and time, there's so much knowledge, it gets hard to discern what's truth, what's lie, what's maybe an opinion. Somebody maybe not trying to be misleading, but hey, this is my opinion. But it's not God. It's not truth. It's not the Word of God. And there's a lot of things that get misunderstood that way. And you look at that word prudent. I always thought that means a good person. Prudent. That's good. That means this person is prudent. They're good. But if you look at the definition, it talks about being prudent means practically wise. Now, practicality and the Holy Spirit are kind of two different things. Very, very, very different. It's easy for us to be practically minded. It's easy for us to, not myself, I can't build things and do things, but some people can, and they can practically put things together, and it makes sense to them. They can envision it in their head and say, this is how this is supposed to look. Or they can, maybe they're an artist and can draw, and they're seeing, they look at a person, and then they can draw that person, and it looks like, I can't do that. I can't. It'll be, everybody will look the same. You'll have like a round head and a stick body. That's it. And if there's not a ruler involved, it'll be crooked. That's it. I'm just being honest. I think it's amazing. Had a friend who used to draw comic book heroes, and it amazed me because it looks so real. But when you see these things come together, prudent, practically wise, cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility. So this is how the practical mind works. The practical mind says, if I can see a positive outcome from this, then I will do it. You see, the problem with that is when you're using practical sense, you're not using faith. You're basically saying the odds are in my favor, therefore I will do it. And what the Lord is saying here, what Jesus himself is saying, he's thanking the Lord, he's thanking God that he has hidden these things from people that are only looking at acting on something if they think it's going to work out right. See, you're not using faith at all. We talk about God. Has anybody here ever seen God face to face? Okay, nobody's seen him. That's good. That's the right answer. How many of you believe in him? Amen. You know he's there, don't you? Isn't that good? I do. I know he's there. I'm not going to say I believe he's there. I know he's there. I know he's there. You say, well, how do you know that? We'll get to that. But you see, in the practical mind says, I can't believe in anything I can't see. And if I can't see it, I'm not going to believe in it. Thomas was kind of like that. I won't believe unless. And he wanted to see a physical sign. He wanted to see something physical. In our lives, we must, and there's no way around it, have to come to grips with the importance of faith when you're talking about the Lord and dealing with him and how he deals with us. And so that's what he's saying here. I'm thankful. I'll read it again. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Think little babies? Well, I tell you, when the Bible says childlike faith, that's what it means. That's exactly what it means. He's very simple in saying that. I don't put age numbers on someone when someone starts asking questions about the Lord. You know what I do? I trust the Lord knows what he's doing. It's not for me to say this is what's happening, that's what's happening. That's the Lord's work. That's the Lord's work. My mind and practicality would say that person's too young. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He knows how he's dealing with the person and how that person is thinking. See, that's the power that the Holy Spirit has that we don't have. And dealing with babes, that's interesting thing about that. A babe is an infant or a young child, if you look it up in the dictionary. But also it has innocent curiosity. And any person, regardless of age, that has innocent curiosity of the Word of God or Jesus himself, you know what God said he will do? I will reveal myself to that person because they innocently, they just want to know. They just want to know. And the Lord is promising us, if you want to know the truth, he will give it to you. And guess what? It doesn't require all this book knowledge. It doesn't require degrees, all these things. It requires you having a curious, open mind and an open book of the Word of God and then somebody willing to talk to you about it. That's what it requires, that you listen. You look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't know. Peter went to him and said, do you understand? Philip went to him and said, do you understand what you read? He said, how could I unless somebody explained it to me? Kind of reading this for the first time. I want to know. And he met him right where he was at. See, that's what the Lord does with us. He knows where we're at. He meets us where we're at. And he talks to us. And even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It seemed good in the sight of God to do things this way. Keep it simple. If you're seeking in sincerity, he'll give it to you. And it doesn't matter how many plaques you have on the wall, nothing like that. If you have an open and sincere heart to him, he'll reveal it to you. Isn't that comforting to know? I thank God for that. Now, you can open your Bible, and I'm going to tell you, if you're just starting out, it will be overwhelming, but you can open your Bible, and you can start in places, and the Lord will give you a little bit. He's measured. He gives a measure of faith to every man, every one of us. But you see how the gospel is delivered. Now, this is all-encompassing, talking about how Christ calls, but verse 27 is actually what I call and what I've written down here is how the gospel is delivered. It's how it gets to a person. The gospel is what? The good news. That's the definition, the short definition. And what's the good news? The good news is Jesus Christ, sinless, perfect, born of a virgin, came to this earth to die on a cross for all of our sin. We had to have a perfect sacrifice. And there was only one. There's this thing called the law. And having the law, it had to be fulfilled. Or that person who faced the law could not go to heaven. They had the wages of sin is death. So if you look at the law at any part, If you broke the law at any part, it doesn't say, well, you can kind of break these parts of the law and you're okay. If you break one law, you're guilty of all of it. So that kind of takes away, you say, well, I've just been kind of bad. I've not been like a murderer. Well, if you've broken the little part, you're just as bad off as breaking all of it. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, there's no hope in the law. There's not. The law is black and white. That's all you have. The law isn't forgiving. If you're guilty, you face the punishment. Well, then, you know, that's a hopeless thing when you look at it that way. Well, tell me the good news. If that's the bad news, tell me the good news. Jesus said, you know what, Father? I will fulfill that law because I know these people can't. I know they can't do it. They're kind of pitiful, but you know what? I love them anyway because I want to have a relationship with them. I want them to have eternal fellowship with us, so there's got to be a way. When you look at the Old Testament law, that's when sacrifices were done. That's when sacrifices were performed. When Jesus said, Father, I will be that sacrifice. Well, you're here with me. God talking to his son, you're here with me. He was with God from the foundation of the earth. You're here with me. How are you going to do that? You don't even have a fleshly body. How are you going to do it? Father, I will put on a fleshly body. Father, I will make myself like them. And in making myself like them, then I will face the law and I will fulfill it for them because they can't. They can't do it. And God said, no, I'll accept that. I'll accept that. And you know, that is the good news of the gospel, and it gets better because when he went to the cross and died for our sin, that was the darkest day that you could ever imagine on the face of this earth. That's the darkest time, the saddest time, the hardest time when you had complete innocence killed for all the sin that would ever take place. Mine, yours. You say, well, mine's not that bad. There's bad sin out there, and it's all bad. Sin is sin. None of it's good. None of it's good. And he went to the cross, but there's something special about this. God gave Jesus the power to lay his life down, and guess what? To take it up again. That's real power. No, you don't have that power. Somebody might be resuscitated or what have you. I'm talking about somebody who died and laid down their life for you and me and was able to raise it again. Only Jesus could do that. And then Jesus says, you know what? Whosoever believes in me, I will give them that same power. I will raise them up at the last day. Isn't that amazing? We don't deserve that. But he said, if you'll believe in me, I'll give you the power to become the sons of God. I'll give you the power to be raised. I'm the first fruit. He said, I will go first. But if you follow me, I'll raise you up too. That's good news. That's good news. I know we don't clap and cheer and everything, but that would be the best place to do it. That's the good news of the gospel. We don't have to die. We don't have to go to hell. We don't. We'll say, how do I know that it's him? How do I know that it's him? And how am I not going to be confused that it's him? How Christ calls. You see that here in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. So you have God the Father that's in heaven. Jesus at this time, this red letters that we're reading, that means he was here talking on this earth. So he was here. This is Jesus in the flesh talking. So you have God the Father that's in heaven, creator of everything. And what he is doing is revealing through his Son, God, and it says delivering unto me of my Father all things. So if you want to know all truth, you have to know God. Because that's where all good gifts come from. That's where the truth comes from. Not a truth or my truth, your truth. That's the truth. And Jesus says, I have that. I have that straight from the Father. It's delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son. You know how many people walked by Jesus and didn't realize who he was? Didn't realize. The saddest and hardest part, one, that I think back during this time is Judas. He was one of the 12, and yet he didn't accept him. I think maybe he had part of that practical mentality. He didn't accept him as Christ. And If he knew who he was and he openly denied him, that speaks even worse. He kissed him. You think about how close Judas was to him. And no man knoweth the Son. Well, if no man knoweth the Son, then how could anybody be saved? How does this work? He breaks it down even further. But the Father. So the Father knows who the Son is. God always knew who Jesus was. That's what he's saying. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. So that is to say, nobody could know God. Only Jesus knows God. You see, this flesh is at enmity. That means an enemy. We are at war with the goodness of God. This flesh is. And there was no way to get to him. There was no way to get to God. There was no bridge. There was no way to get to God is what he's saying here, because nobody even knows God except for the Son. That's what save means, save the Son, except the Son. And then look what he says right here. I've got this underlined in my Bible. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So wow, what does that mean? So that tells me that Jesus is the one who reveals who God is. You think that makes Jesus a pretty important person to know? He's the only way to get to God. He's saying here, what Jesus is saying is, nobody will truly understand and see who God is without me, without seeing who I am. And that's not in pride. That's in importance. That's in fact. You'll see Jesus is very, very humble in what he's saying here and explaining this. And that is so imperative. That's why you have to know who Jesus Christ is. You know, when I was a youngster and I would hear preachers talk about God and Jesus, I would get confused. I'm like, what do you mean? And then sometimes they talk about the Holy Spirit too. And I'm like, there's three? Yeah, there's three who agree as one. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's the Trinity. That's how God set things up. So you have God the Father that's in heaven. Then you have Jesus Christ who is on this earth. But you know, when Jesus ascended back into heaven where he is now at the right hand of the Father, he said, I don't want to leave you alone. Remember, I love you too much. I don't want to leave anybody alone. So he said, I must go back to my Father. But when I go back, I will send you a comforter. I will send help. I will send somebody to be with you. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the difference. To have the Holy Spirit living within your heart, you have to accept Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did. And when you do that, you then have access to God the Father. See, you know all three of them. That's as good as it gets. And that's what he's explaining here. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, the practically minded people will miss that and not understand that. But a babe in Christ, or a babe, not a babe in Christ just yet, but a babe who is asking, seeking in faith, I will reveal myself to them. And don't think it just means a baby. There's babes can be older too. Babes can be way older too. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I tell you, that's when you start feeling that conviction, when you start hearing preaching, when you hear somebody talk about God, when you hear somebody talk about Jesus Christ and who he is, and your heart starts kind of feeling weird and your mind starts thinking and you feel uneasy. You know what that is? That's Jesus Christ revealing himself to you. That's Jesus Christ revealing to you who God is. That's the only reason for that feeling. We deal with emotions, and I know that it's not good to get locked up in emotions and feelings, but God has to move us some way, somehow. And that's how he reveals himself to us. Now, after salvation, you'll see this theme carries all the way through, and it's the call. This is how Christ is calling every one of us. He's saying, come unto me. Now, that was scary when the Lord was dealing with me when I was lost and I felt that awkwardness. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to leave. I wanted to go home. I didn't like how that felt. That felt uncomfortable. Nobody likes to feel uncomfortable, do they? Nobody likes that. You wouldn't choose to feel uncomfortable if you didn't want to, if you didn't have to. But conviction is one of the most uncomfortable feelings I've ever felt. But I have come to know that's how God says, I need you to move. It's time for you to step out on whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that He's asking you to do. Or if it's just simply He's asking you to come unto Him and accept Him in salvation. And it says, come unto me. I feel that is the call of salvation. And then it goes on to say, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I think that accounts for so many people in this day and time. I don't mean this in a negative way, not casting Christians in a negative light, but I'm telling you, with what you see, what we experience in life, it's very hard not to be burdened and heavy laden with something. Every family, every church, every community, this entire country, I see hardship and people facing things, and it mounts up sometimes, and you're not just burdened for maybe one thing at a time. You start to get heavy laden. You know what that means? More is packed on you than what you can handle. And it doesn't take much for our frame to get there. We might be strong sometimes in our own right, maybe in our own minds, but I tell you, it doesn't take long till that load will mass you down. I thank God for good friends, good praying friends, good church friends, for good family. I thank God for that. But there's times that they can't help me either. You know why? Because they're made just like I am. They're needy just like I am. Now, I'll tell you this. The more you have, I think to a degree, the better that is. The more praying friends you have, it's not going to hurt. That'll help you. If a couple of us are carrying something, I say, come on, come on. A couple more comes. And we divide that thing out, it gets a little bit lighter. But even at that, there's going to be times that that burden gets so heavy that we can't carry it and we have to call on somebody. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I like what he says, and he says, and I will give you rest. We need that sometimes. You know that? This life, the way that it is, I know it's fun to be motivated. I tell you, I've been in that cycle. I call it a cycle. I've been motivated, and then I've been tired, and I've been motivated, I've been tired, and you have to have rest. But then sometimes the devil wants to jump on your back and say, is this really even worth it? Is this really even worth it? And I tell you, you ever get to cross the finish line and you get to heaven, if you've accepted Christ and you get to heaven, I promise you, you'll see at that point in time, it was worth it all. The devil will try to convince you right now it ain't worth anything. Look at your lost friends. Look at these people out here don't even go to church. They don't even look like they have a care in the world. And here you are, you're burdened and heavy laden. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? But I want you to see something here. How the Lord comes across. You look at verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If you want to find rest on this earth, this is the recipe that I see that you and I can find rest. I don't really think there's much rest aside from this. Don't even sound like rest. It sounds like work to me. Brother Allen, it sounds like work. When you think of yoke, how many times have you seen yoke in the Bible translate to something good? That's a sign of slavery. That's a sign of work. Do you know what a yoke is? Some will and some won't. I'll give you the illustration, and then I'll give you the definition, and then I'll give you the real illustration. So a yoke is this piece of wood. One piece of wood, maybe two. And what it does is it has a hole on this side and a hole on this side. And you can attach two animals to it because two are stronger than one, right? Two's better than one. The Bible even says that, doesn't it, Sister Chelsea? Two's better than one. Three's even better. Three strand cords, not easily broken. But two. Your label, and it's usually for oxen, big, strong animals. What you do is you put their neck in each one. And then you close that thing back together, and now they're tied together. And so now you got two ox power versus one ox power. That's better. I don't know how strong that is in horsepower, but that's better. That's the illustration. Now, if you look at the definition, piece of timber allowing two oxen to be joined together. That's the definition. Now, Jesus is saying it like this. He is saying, take my yoke upon you. So it's him. But now you said two, that's just one, right? No. Brother Dale, you know where I'm going with this. There's a piece of timber that holds two together. Anybody have any idea what that timber could be? Maybe it looks like this. That timber is what holds you and I to Jesus Christ. That's it. But see, you have to know who was on that cross, and you have to know why. See, that's what ties us together. That's what ties us to Jesus Christ. And he's saying, remember, you know, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Remember, he was the one that was on that cross. We talk of one cross, but I want you to understand the cross that he was on was for you and me. But he alone put himself on that cross so you and I would not have to be on there. I'll tell you, the benefits of knowing who Jesus Christ is out of this world, and I mean that literally. When you think about that piece of timber and how it allows two to be joined together, that is how that works. It allows you to be joined together with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were picking a team, you do it in basketball, people try to pick a team, they usually go with the tall ones first, right? I pick that one. Usually it's the tall ones first, right, Sister Chelsea? You don't go with the short ones, do you? Mm-mm. They're not good in the middle either. I mean, maybe three-pointers, but not really good in the middle. You go with the tall. But I want to tell you something. If you're looking to join together with somebody on this earth, it better be Jesus Christ. He's the first pick. He's the pick. I'll tell you this. He's the only one. He's the only one. He makes it very simple. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. After you accept him, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to learn about him. Now, he's saying here, now you come and now you actually learn who I am and the benefits that I have to offer you. And we need to get to a place that we see and understand we love Christ because he first loved us, but we don't love him for what he can do for us. We love him for what he's already done for us. And then our motive should reflect that. Our motive should, we should always be reminded, this is what he's done for us. And that's why we love him. Not because we want him to do things for us, which he does. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You start looking at those words, meek, that means mild of temper. You know, when I have been under conviction, when I was lost and under conviction, it didn't really feel mild to me. It felt burdensome. But he's saying once you accept him, once you learn who he is, you're going to find out he is very mild of temper. And what I mean by that is, if you're into something you shouldn't be into, and you go to him, he's saying, I'll forgive you. It probably don't feel like that on the front end. I tell you, a lot of times what happens, people feel that conviction and they want to run. A saved person get into a mess that they're not supposed to be in. They know it. The Lord starts convicting them. The first thing they want to do usually is run. But he's saying, come unto me. I'm meek. I'm mild-tempered. You got to remember, Jesus loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants the very best for you. God wants the best for his children. And he's meek and he's lowly. You know what lowly means? Meek and lowly doesn't mean weak and sorry or something like that. It doesn't mean that. Meek and lowly, that means mild of temper, and he's free from pride. Now that's a big one. Somebody does you wrong, your pride wants to get even. You feel out of sorts sometime. The flesh is just absolutely eat up with pride constantly. Constantly eat up with pride, whatever it is, competition and all kinds of things. But Jesus is saying, I'm not like that. I don't operate that way. I'm meek. I have a mild temper. And I'm lowly. And I am free from pride. I don't act that way. And he's lowly in heart. And he's saying again, I'm going to read this. It said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Even in the midst of all this stuff, Jesus is saying, if you come and you take me into your heart, you accept me, you answer the call of Christ, you accept me, you learn of me, we are yoked together, you're going to see that I can give you peace. I can put your mind at ease. I can put your heart at ease. I have a way of coming up next to you and saying it's going to be all right. And guess what? I'm the one who has the authority to say it's all right. The peace that he gives you, it passes all understanding. That means, how can I have any peace in a time like this? And the answer is Jesus Christ. It's just him. It's just him. You see the last verse here, verse number 30, it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to think about this. I'm getting ready to close. But I want you to think about this. You think about if you are yoked up with Jesus and your team carrying weight together, who do you think is carrying most of the weight? If you follow the illustration that he's giving, I mean, honestly, anybody here would say, I'm stronger than Jesus? Anybody? I sure wouldn't. I'm not. I'm a big old baby. I'll be honest with you. Let's be honest with you. Might as well just be honest. You think about what he's carrying. Now, I want you to think about this. Remember who Jesus is connected to. I want you to see it this way. You have to see it this way. Remember, when you're talking about the yoke, you remember who Jesus is connected to. And if you're saved, you can say me. He's connected to me. That means he can carry this weight. That's what he's saying in these verses. Now I want you to remember the other side. I want you to know and understand and remember who you are connected to. If that does not give you a good, solid dose of peace, I really don't know what would. Jesus, God gave his very best in Jesus, and I want you to see that tonight. The things that you see here, number one is a call to salvation. You see a call to discipleship, and you see a call to service. You see this come full circle. That's how this works. If you will, I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. And I'll ask Sister Alice if she will come to the piano. I want to give an invitation. I'm so thankful that all of you are here tonight. And we will have a time of prayer later. But I want to give an invitation if you want to